I would like to remind you this morning of God's faithfulness. Like I said, you know God is faithful. And we also know that we are living in trying times. You know, we are in the midst of a pandemic. We are also on the verge of a really pivotal election for our country, for our nation this year. And, you know, people are wondering if this man wins, what's going to happen to our country? But this guy, so everybody's, you know, the nation is divided. And so there's so many things going on in our lives right now. But I just want to remind you to pause and think about the faithfulness of God. Because He is faithful, regardless of what you and I go through in this life. Like I said, there are people that they would not know what they would do if this man wins the election, or if this other guy wins the election. I think this is so key that we, you and I, get to focus more on Jesus, because God's still in control. Regardless of what happens, regardless who sits in the White House, God is still in control and His plan will come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
He is faithful. He's faithful no matter what situation I go through in life. No matter what the circumstances that you and I might be experiencing right now, I just want to remind you, because I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe you're going through a storm. Remember, God is faithful. And what does that mean when I say that? He's not done with you yet. He's faithful to change that situation. He's faithful, even if He doesn't change it, to change how you look at that situation, to change your perspective. He is faithful. As I hope and pray that you do not lose sight of that truth, that God is faithful. I mean, the Bible talks about Him being faithful through all generations. He was faithful during your grandparents' generation, and He's going to be faithful during this generation and our kids' generation, because God is faithful forever. Amen. God is true to His word. You see, God made a promise to His people. You know, the Israelites, the Jewish people, known also as Hebrews in the Bible. He made a promise that, you know, He said to them, "You will be my people and I will be your God. Even though the whole earth is mine, you will be to me my treasure possession." So we're going to have this covenant, this agreement, this relationship between God and the nation of Israel. And God made a promise. Well, God also told them through that promise, if you do not listen to me, if you rebel against me by sinning and going after other gods, doing idolatrous-ish things, then I'm going to send you into captivity. It's almost like God was telling them, I'm going to give you a timeout. In our word, a pow-pow. If you don't listen to what I'm telling you, you are my kid, but then I'm going to correct you. And, you know, parents, some of us that have kids, we know that we do such things to our kids because we love them. So God set up this relationship with the Israelites, and He told them, He made a promise to them that if they continue in their idolatry and their sins, God will send them into captivity. Now, in the spring of 597 B.C., God did that to the Israelites. I mean, you can even go into Google and things, and that's history that I'm telling you right now. God sent the Israelites, the Jewish people, to Babylon. Now, if you look at Babylon today, that's modern-day Afghanistan and Pakistan, that region right there. So God sent the Israelites to slavery in 597 B.C., the Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city of Jerusalem and took about 10,000 Jewish people captive to Babylon, because God told them. Now, pause for a moment. Think about this. People say, well, why would God do that to His people? Remember I told you God is faithful? He's faithful to His word. He told them, if you do not change, this is what's going to happen. He had told them. How did He tell them? Through the prophets. There were prophets telling them, come back to me. Come back to me. The Lord's telling you, because the Israelites were doing their own thing. Everybody was doing their own thing. And God said, I love you. Come back to me. They did not listen. God told them that was going to happen. And it happened because He is faithful to His word. You can read about that in 2 Kings 24. 10 through 17, and also in 2 Chronicles. Some of those books will tell you how the Israelites were sent into captivity. God's chosen people, imagine that. Like I said, you may wonder why God allowed His people to suffer like this. You know, a lot of times we struggle, like, God, if you're so good, why is there so much evil in this world? God, if you're so good, why did you allow me to go through trying times? You might not know this, but God has a reason that you and I might not even be aware. And sometimes He allows us to go through things to develop our faith so that we can trust Him even more. Also, He allows us to go through things because we disobey Him, and now He's teaching us a lesson. The captivity, the Babylonian captivity, or the Bible calls it to the exile. They've all been exiled to Babylon. Truly was God punishing His people for their rebellion, for their sin. Because God is true to His word. He told them that was going to be, that would happen. So the exile, the captivity is truly a testimony of who God is. God is love, but He's also just. The justice of God. God cannot go back in His word. You know, like we change our minds all the time. If God were to do that, He would not be trusted. He could not be trusted. God has to always be right for Him to be God. He has to always be faithful and good, and He is good even when we go through hard times. Like I said, the exile, the Babylonian captivity is truly a testimony of God's justice. He told them that was going to happen. They did not listen, and lo and behold. Now, it's interesting, when King Nebuchadnezzar came in 597, and he left the farmers and the poor people in Jerusalem, but he took the nobles, he took army people, and he took the priests, he took important people in a sense, like the people of high ranks. He took them captives, but he left the farmers to take care of the land in Israel. There was a man among those left in Jerusalem named Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the prophets. In fact, there's a book in the Bible, Jeremiah. He's telling the story. Jeremiah was left in Jerusalem while all the other people were taken captive to Babylon. So God sent a word to Jeremiah, a prophecy. He gave him a word to tell the captives that He was about to do something. So if you got your Bibles with me, go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through following. This is, I'm reading the ESV, that's the blue Bibles in your pews. You can follow along. It says, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, and the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile." Now you notice it says the prophets. Daniel is already gone. Daniel is in exile. Remember the prophet Daniel? He was already there with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So that's why he said that they were prophets that were taken, but Jeremiah was not one of those prophets. Jeremiah remained in Jerusalem. And now the Lord sent a letter to him, sent a letter to the exiles, so they know God's plan. Check out verse 2. This was after King Jeconiah. Now your translation might say Jehoiakim. It's the same man. King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, this is what the letter said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may be your, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord." So Jeremiah has a word to the exiles that have gone as prisoners to Babylon. The letter that the Lord told them, every time you hear a prophet say, this is what the Lord says, thus says the Lord. I love that because no sooner were God's people deported than God already had an answer sent for them. Like I say, it is a testimony of God's faithfulness, and He is faithful to what He says. This is what the letter states. This is what the Lord Almighty, or thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to those who I sent into exile. This is what God is truly saying to them. Do not stop living. You know how many times, because we go through a situation where we literally stop, like some of the routines that we used to do. So yes, you're going to go into a foreign country, a different language, different people. You are going to be their slaves, but do not stop living your life there. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens, vineyards, and eat their fruits. So do not stop living. Get married. You know how many times I heard people, you know, friends of mine say, like, I cannot believe people are having babies during this pandemic. So I guess you're supposed to just don't have babies, because, you know, somebody said, if you only have babies when it's the right time, you will never have babies, by the way. Because it's never going to be the right time. So it says, build houses and live in those houses. So yes, you're going to go into a foreign land as exiles, but do not stop living. I mean, you could have just gone and said, right, and complain, God, why are you doing this? I'm so desperate. And Lord, what? The Lord said, you're going to go there, live. Do not stop living your life. Give you sons in marriage, and give you daughters in marriage as well. Do not stop living, but grow where you are planting, where you are planting. Do not stop living, but multiply there, the Lord told the Israelites. And they did. They did multiply there. He said, do also seek the welfare of the city. Now, instead of Jerusalem, they'd be living in Babylon with a different language, different culture. So seek the welfare of the city. I mean, that's where you live right now. He said, pray for the city, for if the city prospers, you will also prosper. So think about that in our own society. I mean, this is where we live. So pray for our city, regardless of who the mayor is. We are to pray for the welfare, because if that city does well, we will benefit. So the Lord told the exiles, you go in there, build houses. You know, continue living your life. Get married, you need to get married. Have kids. Pray for the city where you're going to be sent, because if the city prospers, so will you. How many of us pray for our city, pray for our country? And for many of us, maybe you might think, if that guy wins, we're going to go into 4-year exile. Maybe we'll go into 4 years of captivity in our nation. That's what many people might be thinking. But even if that's the case, build houses and live in them. Get married. Have kids. Do not decrease, but multiply in the city, because that's where if we go into captivity, that's where the Lord is sending us, because the captivity is God's faithfulness to His people. It's God's justice. He told them that was going to happen, and it happened so that God would teach the Israelites a lesson. But even when you go through captivity, God is faithful to bring you back from there as well. You know, during the time of Jeremiah, there were some prophets. Jeremiah, one time, he was prophesying with an oxen yoke on his, you know, he put it there because it symbolized that the Israelites were going to be captive. And there were prophets telling Jeremiah, you got to be out of your mind. And they began to prophesy things against what Jeremiah prophesied. Saying, no, we're going to have peace and prosperity. The Lord said, no, you're going to go into captivity. So there were so many false prophets during Jeremiah, during his time. And the Lord says right here, to do not listen to the false prophets and dreamers. There are people dreaming dreams. This is what's going to happen. Their dreams said peace, prosperity. God's word says captivity for you for a time. So look at what the Lord told them. Do not listen to those prophets and diviners. Verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. They're deceiving you. They're lying to you with their dreams. For it is a lie that they're telling you, because I have not sent him. You know how many times people say, well, the Lord sent me. How you know it was truly God who sent those people? Do you know how you would know? If whatever they said to you will come to pass. I mean, I saw so many evangelists, like when the coronavirus happened early in March, they were just blowing it out, like, oh, it's going to be gone. That didn't happen. So why would I put my trust in somebody who's lying to me? The Lord did not send you, because we're still living in that. So people that are just crazy, are false prophets, who have so many people, like dreamings, and this is what's going to happen, prophesying things about even the election. And you wonder, did God really send you to say those words to me? But I know that God sent this one for me. I don't know about you, but God's saying to me, I'm going to be faithful even when you go into captivity. I'm going to be faithful to you even when it might not feel like that you are doing well. God told the Israelites, do not listen to those false prophets. I did not send them, he said. Yet, regardless of that, they were prophesying and deceiving the people. That's why so many people believe that they were just going to go a short time to Babylon and come back. The Lord said, they're deceiving the people. Do not listen to them. Only listen to the word of God. Listen to his word. Look at what the Lord said. The captivity, by the way, it was going to last 70 years. I mean, you go to a place of 70 years, there was going to be kids born in Babylon that they would know the Babylonian language better than the Hebrews by the time they would return. So that's what the Lord said. Live there. Build houses. Plant vineyards and gardens, and either produce, get married. I mean, live life. Do not stop living. Look at what he says in verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Captivity for 70 years, but after the 70 years are completed, I'm going to bring you back to this place. Daniel, one of those prophets in the book of Daniel, he was over there, and at one time he was praying to God because he didn't know how long it was going to be. And you know what scrolls Daniel got to read? Jeremiah. And then Daniel said, I understood through the prophet Jeremiah that the exile, the captivity would last 70 years. Now, for some of us, 70 years, that's a long time. And for them too, it was a long time. That's what the Lord said, live life there. You're going to be there for 70 years. You're going to go through the Babylonians, through the Persian Empire, and later on there's going to be a king named Cyrus who's going to allow you to come back. God already had a plan. That's why his faithfulness is always evident, even when he allows his people to go into captivity for a time. God promises restoration right here. Look what he says. Let me read 10 again. For the background. For thus says the Lord, where 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will revisit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place, bring you back to Jerusalem. For I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. You know how many times we quote that verse and we had no idea to whom was that verse given? Oh yes, the Lord has so many plans for me. And don't get me wrong, he does. But we have to first understand what was happening here before we can take something and apply it to us. So then the Lord said to the exile, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations of all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exiles. God is faithful. Just like he was faithful to send them back because of rebellion, he's faithful to bring them back. And he's sending the prophets to communicate his truth, to communicate that message through a letter that King Hezekiah sent to the exiles in Babylon. God still had plans for his people even after they lived in captivity. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans for a hope and a bright future. Now you notice verse 12, after the restoration, after they will come back, the Lord, I mean, it's an amazing thing. He says, you will call on me and pray to me and I will hear you. You know, maybe some of those people went to, Daniel was praying many times to the Lord. And it's interesting because he was in the east and he would face west where Jerusalem was to pray because he knew that's my hometown. That's where the temple of the Lord was. In 586, Nebuchadnezzar came back to Jerusalem, destroyed the city, and burned the temple, that magnificent structure. By the way, that was considered one of the seven wonders of the world, a temple built by Solomon. Nebuchadnezzar came back in 586, and destroyed the whole city and carried Jeremiah and everybody else back to Babylon. So, no temple. Imagine you're in Babylon. There's no place to worship, no church to go to. The priests are all scattered all through the Babylonian Empire. And the Lord finally, sent the letter through Jeremiah and says, I have plans for you. Plans to restore you. Plan not to do evil, but to do good to you. To give you a hope and a bright future. Then you will call on me, he said, pray to me and I will hear you. Verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, what does that tell you that the Lord is saying that? Because the Israelites were not obeying God prior to the exile. They were doing their own thing. They were not listening to God. They were not listening to God's servants, the prophets. And that's why the exile, the Babylonian captivity, happened because of the rebellion of God's people. He sent them there to teach them a lesson. And then, after 70 years, that will be completed. You come back, and now you can pray to me, and I will listen to you. I will hear your prayers. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you and restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations where I have driven you out. I will bring you back to the land from which I sent you into exile. My friends, God promised restoration to his people after 70 years. God's faithfulness is evident in his dealing with his people. He sent his people into captivity due to their rebellion. He punished them. That's a punishment for them. But isn't that amazing? Even in the punishment, he said, live life, there, build houses, plant gardens and eat the produce, get married, that's what you need to do, live there for a while. And then I'm going to bring you back to the land of your dreams, to the land from where I took you out. God punished and disciplined his children when they rebel against them. You see, my friends, that's what I think in our society, we quite don't understand this idea of love. I think sometimes people say, well, you love me, you will accept me. Love is not acceptance, by the way. Because if that be the case, nobody will ever get divorced. Because you're going to accept whatever he or she does to you. I mean, you love. And so we have that, you love me, you're going to accept. No. Love disciplines according to what I see in the Bible. I mean, God says, because you're my children, I love you and I discipline. Some of us are parents. You know that if you accept every behavior of the kids, by the way, you're not loving that child. Because love is not teaching the right way. And God, as the Israelites, they were my kids and said, hey, you misbehave. So now you got to go to Babylon. It's a timeout for you. And it's going to last 70 years. The kid sometimes is in the corner for 2 hours. No, it's 70 years. You're going to go in there for a while. You might just get used to learning a new language over there. I mean, live life. And then after 70 years, I'm going to revisit you and fulfill my promises to you. You see how serious God is when it comes to like rebelling against him, not doing exactly what he's asking us to do. And you know, like we talk about, we're all sinners. We rebel against God all the time. But think about this. A rebellion has consequences. And this is when you read the story of the exile, this is the consequence for the rebellion of the Israelites. But in spite of that, the Lord said, I'm going to bring you back. We're still going to be, you're going to be my people, I'm going to be your God, and you're going to pray to me, and I will finally hear you. You're going to seek me, and you're going to find me when you truly seek me with all your heart. He promised restoration. He disciplined his people. You see, the captivity was God's will for the Israelites due to the sinful behavior. You know, sometimes God's will for us might be that we suffer sometimes. I mean, hear me out, we don't like that. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul, all the things that he went through. That was God's will for him. And God's will for Jesus was that he will be crucified on the cross. That was the Father's will. Jesus understood that when he prayed, Lord, if it's possible that I don't have to drink this cup, and then he said, but not my will, but yours be done. What was the answer? The cross still. God's will might be that you and I go through the valley of shadow for a while to teach us perseverance, to teach us something that we have not yet learned. The Israelites had not yet learned how to truly love God the way that God expected them to love Him. They were loving God, but they were also loving Molech and other gods, or the Baals and Ashtaroth. They were loving, syncretistic society, loving God and loving... God said, if I'm your God, I got to be it. And maybe, perhaps going into Babylon, you will learn to love me even more. That was his will for the people due to the rebellion. But even when he went to Babylon, I always go back to this. He went with them into captivity. God will never leave you. He went with them because there were still prophets over there to remind the people, God's going to fulfill his promise, even though it's going to be 70 years, but God's not done with you. Yes, I don't know how long you've been suffering. God is not done with you because he's still faithful. How do I know that he ain't done with you yet? Because you're still breathing and you're still sitting here listening to me today. Yes. God still has a plan. Even though when you don't feel him, when you don't see him working, he's still working his plans. Yes. He has a plan. Even whoever sits in the White House this coming election, his plan will never be thwarted. His plan will never be taken away. God still will do something, regardless of who the president is. My friends, that's the hope that I want to instill in you this morning. Don't place your hope on a political candidate. They're all going to fail you, fail us. But the God of the Bible, Yahweh, Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will never fail you. Even when you and I might be going through captivity for a while. Like I said, some people may think that our nation is going to be in pivotal times. Maybe God is getting ready to send us into captivity for a while. Because maybe, we have not listened to God. We pass laws against God's law. Think about it. And then we always say, God bless America. But how do you expect his blessing when you're not doing, operating things based on him? I don't know about you, but it's like, I think a lot about these things. Like, we want his blessings, but it's almost like, yeah, we want to hang out with whoever, the devil, and then now we want to hang out with God over here. And God said, no, it's either him or I. And when we call ourselves the nations of God, even us, churches, God will send us into captivity sometimes when we have not been doing the things that he's calling us to do. How do I know that? Remember the seven churches in Revelation? There was one that God told him, I wish you just close the door. Don't open. Don't even bother to pray and sing songs. I will not listen to you. And then he told them to repent, to change. God is serious. When you want to call him to be your God and your people say, okay, as a father, as your God, this is the expectations that I have about you. And when you don't meet those expectations, he will use whatever means necessary to discipline you and I, because he loves us that much. And he's faithful to do exactly what he says he will do. Even in captivity, God was still faithful to his promises. He told them to live and thrive there. Do not stop living even when your circumstances change. Do not stop living. Continue living for the Lord. Seek the welfare of the city and pray for the well-being of that city. God is faithful in any situation we might find ourselves in. See, God promised restoration to his people, and he accomplished exactly that. He restored them. He brought the Israelites back, and Israel's been in the land ever since. Even though Israel right now is surrounded by so many enemies that literally they would love to take him out of that region. But God's been faithful even to that nation. God has still plans for you where you are right now. That's why he told us, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, but to do good to you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has still plans for you, regardless of what you're going through in this life right now. In my own life, as a man, as a preacher, I thought one time, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I always tell the story when I went to college, and I was owing so many money and I could not pay. And somebody said to me, the Lord will provide. And that's like part of me. I grew up in the church. Yes, I know God will provide. But at that moment, I truly wanted to see how. You know, it's like, what am I going to do? I don't have any families around here. Lord, I was feeling like exile going to a school. And I finished my freshman year, and somebody said, hey, I already signed up for my sophomore year, and now my debt is increasing. And it's like, but you know, I went to school waiting on the promises of God. And later on, the dean of students called me one time, and he said to me, hey, do you know this lady, Renata Pig? I said, no, why? He said to me, but I don't know, maybe he knows you, but she's been sending money on your behalf so that you finish your education. And I said, well, give me the address so I can send her a thank you. I don't even know who this lady is. And God used her to pay for my debt in college. And to this day, I have not met that woman yet. And even after I got married, she would send me cards with money, you know, because she realized I am helping you build God's kingdom. You know, if I send you to school to be a preacher, you might preach the gospel and people might come to the Lord. She is part of that journey as well now. And you see, my friends, I don't know what your story might be, but to me, I don't worry about money after that, because I realize, wow, you know, I came out of college. You know, people take student loans and things. I came owing zero. Amen. Because some people pay for me, people that don't even know who I am. Tell me that God is not faithful.
Right.
God is always going to be faithful. No matter what we go through, even when at times we might have to sit down and wonder, like, Lord, give me a sign. I have no idea what's going on. And he just say, like, live your life. The time is coming. I got you. I haven't forsaken you. Even when you are in exile, even when you are in captivity, I'm still God. And I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to restore you. God is a God of restoration. Broken relationships. God can restore whatever it is that's been broken. I love what Paul says in Colossians 1:16. He says, in Christ, all things hold together. And if you're falling apart right now, He can hold you. Amen. He is faithful to do that. Hold you so the circumstances of your life will not break you. I mean, that's what, like, man, we serve such an amazing God, such a great God, and He is faithful. And I think in my own life, I want to be preaching the gospel until I die. Because, you know, it's like He's been so good to me. And you know what I mean? The circumstances would not stop me. Even if the government wanted to stop me, I'm going to continue preaching, even from jail if I go there. Because He is faithful. And I've seen how those people, you know, the Apostle Paul, like they said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I want that passion to be my passion. Because we serve a great God. I don't know about you, man. I'd rather go to exile with Him than without Him. I'd rather go through the tough times with God on my side than somebody else, because if He's there, I will be all right. I will be okay. God is faithful even when He sends us into captivity for a time. He is true to His word. He is faithful to bring His people back to restoration. Now, but He has told us in His word how restoration begins. I mean, there was another prophet named Isaiah. Isaiah was way before the exile. Isaiah told people that was going to happen, and they did not believe him. And even when Isaiah was preaching, he told people, remember that passage in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, God is saying, that is known by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and stay away from the wickedness, from the evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. My friends, restoration is possible when we heed to God's word, when we do exactly what He's asking us to do. Restoration begins when we humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, it's all about you. We are somebody because of you. Humility, restoration is possible when we humble ourselves before God, when we truly seek Him with all our heart. Sometimes our hearts is divided. We have God and we have something else, and God is competing for our attention. God is competing in our hearts for our allegiance. God said, you want to be restored? Seek me with all your heart. And then when you pray, I will hear. I will listen to you. Seek me with all your hearts and stay away from your sinful behavior, from your wicked ways. Then He promises to hear. He promises to heal. He promises to forgive our sins and heal our land. He is faithful to His word. My friends, this is what the Lord says. Thus says the Lord, I will restore whatever's been broken. We just got to continue trusting Him because he is faithful to us, regardless of the circumstances that you and I might be going through in this life. Would you pray with me this morning?